There's always the critics, and we're going to look at this portion of Scripture and find out there were some critics they were given. But we need spiritual wisdom. We need to seek God like we never sought God before. We need to seek God and beg God and ask God that He would give us what we need for our lives and direct us and show us the path He wants us to take. Go to Nehemiah chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through verse number 12. And then here are some wonderful names, some that you may want to name your children. And great names given here. And so we'll read those, and hopefully I won't kill too many of those. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the walls, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised and turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey into the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." And our adversaries said, "They shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease." And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, "From all the places whence ye shall return at us, they will be upon you." Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you for your precious word. And we ask, as we look at your word this morning, that you would just illuminate your scriptures to us and help each of us to glean the truths you want us to glean, and let it transform our lives and change us because of it. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I want you to first see they recognize something. As they were seeking spiritual wisdom, we're going to look at their prayer in a little bit, in a few minutes. But I want you to see they recognize something. Look again as we look at verse 1 through verse 3. They recognize the danger around them. Spiritual wisdom is seeking God and asking God's direction, God's help, but realizing our circumstances, realizing what is around us. They recognize the danger around them. Look at verse 1. We see they came out, they built a wall, he was wroth, he took great indignation, mocked the Jews. He spake his brethren and the army of the Samaritans said, "What do these feeble Jews, will they fortify themselves?" And you can go on, we're going to look at those verses. Look at verse 3. Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him and said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone walls." The first thing I want you to see is they fought criticism. They were criticized for what they're doing. Now, remember, why were they rebuilding the walls? They were rebuilding the walls because they were torn down. But they were rebuilding because that was a command given to them to follow after the Lord. This is what they were supposed to be doing. They were told to do this. And they were going to rebuild the walls. But even with the intentions And even with rebuilding, even with doing this, what came about? They had criticism. They said, what are they going to do? They're going to take the stones that have been burned. They're going to take the waste. They're going to take the destruction. They're going to take this thing and they're going to make something out of this. Oh, what they're going to build is not going to hold up. What you guys are going to do, there's no way it's going to be able to be accomplished and done. Even a fox is going to be able to knock that wall over. I tell you, nothing's going to be, your wall's not going to be able to stand anything. Now, I want us to look at our lives for a moment. So we're seeking spiritual wisdom. I believe God gives us direction. Proverbs tells us to lean on our understandings. In all the ways, acknowledge Him, and He should direct our paths. And as we're following God and we're doing what God has commanded us to do, there's going to be those that come against us. There's going to be critics. There's going to be those that criticize us. I know you're not going to believe this, but I've had my few critics against me. I tell you, there's been some that criticize me, and I know that, and that's fine. And guess what? All of us have had our critics. All of us have had people that come against us and have some other idea, some other ways that we should be doing things. Now, I tell you, there is no perfect parent out there, but I believe most parents pray and ask God and seek God's face how they should raise their children. But there's always someone that knows better than you how to raise your children. And it's usually those that never had children before. And then once they have their own children, then they realize some things. Now, but there's always critics. There's always someone that's going to criticize. And when you and I are serving God and living for God and have a desire to go forward for God and live by faith and do what God wants us to do, there's always going to be those that come against you and say, why even try? It could be the devil himself. It could be other people you know. It could be family members. But why are you even trying? Why are you even trying to accomplish this? Why are you even trying to do this? You can't do it. You're not going to, what you're going to put together, what you're going to do isn't going to make a difference in this world. It's going to fall down. It's going to crumble. It's not going to be of any use. They fought the criticism. Spiritual wisdom is this. Realizing I don't live for the critics. I live for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't answer to men. I have to answer to my Lord. The men may not understand what I am doing and why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for God. And they came, and there was those that came against them and criticized them. And, oh, they're going to sacrifice. What's all going to happen? What are they going to do with the stones and the foxes and all that? We'll drop down to verse 7 through verse 8. I want you to see, not only do they fight criticism, they recognize the danger around them. Not only do they fight criticism, but they fought the conspiracy. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Now, spiritual wisdom is seeking God and doing what God wants us to do in our lives. And as we're seeking the spiritual wisdom, there's going to be those that are going to come by and criticize us. But there's also going to be those who conspired against us. Do you know this world is not for us? Do you know the devil is not for you this morning? Believer, as much as you think this world is for you, this world is against you. There are those that want to see nothing greater than you to stumble and fall. Nothing greater than this church to stumble and fall. Now, we're going through some hard times as a church, and I use that loosely. We know what a church is. It's those that make up the church. It's the believers. I understand that. I understand we meet in the church building, if you will. And I understand, but I tell you, the church is going through some struggles during this time. I tell you, some individuals are having some struggles in their life. There are those who are conspiring to see things fall apart. I tell you, the devil looks at this and go, wow, are those believers, are those individuals going to be able to handle this time of their life. We've been looking through on Wednesdays in the book of Job. And we've been looking how Job handled the situation that he was facing in his life. As you and I are going through, and as they were going through to build the walls, there's those, what was their sole goal? Look at verse 8. What was their goal? Their goal was to join together, conspire together, to what? To go against Jerusalem, to what? To defeat Jerusalem. You know what they want to see happen? They want to see your life as a believer hindered. I tell you, anytime you and I start living for God and we get a fire, we get a zeal, we get a passion, I tell you, be ready, because that's when those are going to come and join together and their goal is to hinder you. I mentioned a little bit this morning, we're having, for some reason, a little problem with the sound and some are having a hard time hearing. Let me tell you, I don't believe that's by accident this morning. I believe the reason is we're trying to be hindered in regards to hearing the message that we need to hear in our lives. We need to hear this message. Now, I never thought I would be told I'm too quiet. I love this. This is a first. Some of you go, oh, great, now every week he's going to be louder than ever. Yes, get ready. But we're hindered. And they come against to try to hinder us, to try to stop us. What is this idea of hindering? It means it's pulling out all the arsenal, everything that it has, to throw at us, to get us to get off the wall and get down and start to get sad about our circumstance, to get upset about what's happening and throw up our arms and quit and say, we can't do this anymore. Spiritualism says it doesn't matter how much criticism. It doesn't matter how much those come against us to conspire against us. We still keep on keeping on. We still go forward. We still press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. We still finish the course that God has set before us. We finish that race with endurance. We don't quit. I want you and I to look at our lives for a moment this morning. And I want us to look at some areas where there's been those that have been attacking and those trying to hinder us. One area that gets a lot of believers off the wall and get a lot of believers to stop living has to do with finances. Finances is one tool I believe the devil uses to try to hinder the believer. Because it gets in, if he can get your pocketbook, he has control of you. If he's able to hinder that way, because what happens is when you start not having the finances you think you need to have in your lives, and you stop having the finances that you think you need to be able to do things, what do you start doing? You don't follow after God and stay on the wall and keep doing what God wants you to do. You start pulling back what you're giving to the church. You start pulling back what you're doing for the Lord. You start pulling back how you're serving. You start pulling back in all the areas of your life. And that's a way to try to get in and to hinder. How about our children? Now, our children are a gift from God. They are precious. They are wonderful. But how many of you ever been so joyful and happy, and you were just walking on cloud 5,000, and then here comes your snotty nose, wonderful gift from God, and it changes your whole attitude. All of a sudden, you come from praising the Lord and happy, and I mean, you're on fire. You want to get in the Word of God. You want to read the Word of God. You want to pray. And now you're stressed out. Those that have hair, you pull out your hair. Those that don't, you pretend you do. And you go ahead, and you're just done. And you're going, what am I going to do? And it changes us. I believe even our children who are a gift from God can be used to hinder us in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual talk, in our spiritual life, living for God. You see, this is what happens, and we can go through many other circumstances this morning, avenues, and we see the hindrance that comes. We see they fought criticism. They fought conspiracy. But look at verse 10 through verse 12. I want you to see they also fought complaints. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversaries said they should not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all the places whence ye shall return unto us, they shall be upon you." It is one thing when the enemy attacks your work. It's another thing when the attack comes from within. See, they had those that were attacking from without, but they also had those come in and attack from within. I tell you, when you're in an army, when you're in the military, when you're in some type of battle, you think you can trust those that are right alongside you. You think those are the ones that are going to give their lives for you. They're the ones that are going to defend you. They're the ones that are going to help you. They're the ones that are going to be right there cheering you on. But as we're going through and following spiritual wisdom for our lives and following God's plan for our lives, we have attacks from without, but we also get attacks from within. Yes, this world attacks us. Yes, the devil attacks us. But let me tell you, sometimes even brothers and sisters in Christ sin attacks. Even the attacks come from our own families. Our attacks come from those that should be standing for us, and they're with us. And that's where it comes about. I read this the other day. A certain father was sitting with his family in the presence of a guest. One day when the question of food came up, one of the children, a little girl, was telling the guest very cleverly what food each member of the family liked best. Finally, it came to the father's turn to be described. "And what do I like, Nancy?" the father asked laughingly. Nancy said, "Well, you like most anything we haven't got to eat." Now, many times in our lives, the attacks come from within. Let me read another. "An angry pastor's wife looked over the remains of a dinner that had long since turned cold. She intensely inquired of her husband, 'Where have you been for the last 2 hours?' His hollow eyes gazed toward his wife when he slowly responded, 'I met Mrs. Jones on the street, and she told me everything we're doing wrong.'" The attacks come from when? Where? From within. The attacks come from those that should be for us, not against us. The attacks happen with those that are coming about. A young couple was becoming anxious about their 4-year-old son who had not yet talked. They took him to a specialist, but the doctors found nothing wrong with him. Then one morning at breakfast, the boy suddenly blurted, "Mom, the toast is burnt." You talk, shouted his mother. "I am so happy, but why is it taking this long?" "Well, up to now," said the boy, "things have been pretty good." I want us to think for a moment. We understand that attacks come from within, but let me ask you and myself a question this morning. Are we attacking others? You see, as brothers and sisters in Christ, my goal, according to the book of Ephesians, is to edify, is to build up, is to encourage, is to help, is to keep them on track and following spiritual wisdom for their lives. But let me ask a question. Are we helping or are we hindering? Now, I understand we have not been able to be around each other and see everyone. I tell you, one thing positive of the last few weeks, we haven't had as many issues, if you will. I can truthfully tell you, as far as I know, everybody in our church is getting along. That's a good thing. That's a great thing. because we haven't seen each other except through videos. And we're getting along. That's great. That's wonderful. But let me tell you, when we get to meet back next week and we start the phases and we start to get increasing, I tell you, we need to be just as encouraging as we were during this time, as we even after this time. You see, it's been great. I've heard about many things many individuals have done. I've heard about how people have helped their neighbors and people have done this and people encourage other believers and sent cards and different things. And I think that's all wonderful and great. But even after this, don't stop doing it. Don't start attacking someone when you come and our chairs are set up totally different. And I'll show you at the end if I remember, but the chairs are so totally different. You're going to have to find a section that fits your family, and you're going to be able to sit there, and you might not want to sit where you're sitting, and you might not like it, and you might be upset because someone sat where you're going to want to sit. And don't start attacking someone over some petty thing. Let's encourage one another. Let's help one another. Let's build one another up. And many times, there's a criticism. There's the conspiracy, and there's the complainers. Many times, and you could probably testify, you have come up with some great idea of what you were going to do. And there's always someone to come by and start complaining and saying, how do you think that's going to work? How's that going to come together? Is this really going to happen? Is this really going to take place? Can you really build the walls? Can you really do what you are supposed to do? How many times as a young person have people told you, you have to wait till you're older to do something? Now it's interesting, Brother Jamie and Sister Kim celebrated their 10th anniversary this week. And I had the privilege of doing that wedding. And they had a picture of their wedding. And I tell you, one, I didn't know who the young guy was doing the wedding. But I certainly don't remember marrying a baby to Kim. I tell you, Brother Jamie looked like he was 12 years old in that picture. If you like to see that picture, you need to get that. And I was thinking through some things as I was looking back. And Brother Jamie came here. He came here from, I won't say that, wicked state, California, and just kidding. And he came from there, and I tell you, when he first came here, some of you remember Brother Jamie. And I tell you, my memory started going and flowing. I remember some things that Jamie was planning on doing. One of the things Jamie was planning on doing was a business adventure. And I remember this, and I remember him coming to me and talking to me about this. And I told him I did not think it was wise that he did this. And we went through some things. But I remember Brother Jamie saying something to this effect. You don't think I can do this just because I'm too young. And there was something to that effect. And I remember that. And many times people get told they can't do certain things because of their age and that. Let me tell you, there's going to be many complainers, many critics, many that come against you. But let me tell you, if God has told you to do something, and if God has directed you in His Word, and if God wants you to live a certain way and do certain things, it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter who you are, you follow after God. Don't let the complainers get you. Don't let the critics get you. We need to keep on. Not only did we see they recognize the circumstance, I want you to see they relied on God. Look at verse 4 through verse 5. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before them, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. What did the leaders do? Nehemiah called on God. He went to the Lord looking for help, looking for directions. The leaders prayed. Do you know what we need during this time? We need our spiritual leaders to pray for spiritual wisdom. Now, who's a spiritual leader? Well, that's just the pastor. No, I don't think that's just a pastor. I understand Nehemiah was a leader there, and I understand they got other spiritual leaders together. I understand that, but I believe it's more than just the pastor. I believe in each of our homes, we are to have spiritual leaders in our homes. The husband is to be the spiritual leader in the home. I believe in many places and avenues in the church and different things. The man is to be the spiritual leader. No way am I undermining the role of the lady. No way am I trying to say they're not worth anything, because they are. They're very important. And the sad truth is, some cases, because there's no spiritual leadership in men, the ladies have to fill the role. And that's a slap in the man's face, not on the lady. But the spiritual leaders need to rise up and need to start praying. Through this time, I pray that our spiritual leaders in our church and the spiritual leaders in the home have been praying, been seeking God's face, been looking for wisdom, how they're going to handle what they're facing for their family. Do you know there are some people that have not reacted the right way during this whole time? And I believe that what needed to happen is each of the spiritual leaders in the homes needed to pray for God's direction, God's wisdom for their family during this time, and do what God wanted them to do as a family. I believe we should have been praying for our church. And many have, and I know. And many have prayed in your home, and praise the Lord for that. But I believe we need many more to step up and keep praying, and praying for wisdom. I'll tell you, this has been different for me. This is not the way I like to roll. Doing things a little different. I like consistency in my life. I like order. I've shared before, and I've gotten better on this, but I'm a very organized person, and I like schedules. And when we first got married, and we went on a trip with my mom and dad, I had a schedule for us at Disney World. And at this time, we're going to do this, and at this time, we're going to do that. And that schedule got thrown away very quickly. So when we start to, not by my choice, by the way, but when we start to do it's hard. It's hard. But let me tell you, continue to pray for spiritual wisdom on this end. Pray that I will seek God. We're looking things. I research things. I'm trying to figure out what is best for our church, because I don't want to go against certain things, but I also don't want to get people sick. I don't want to harm individuals. I want to help individuals. I want that balance. I want that approach. I want God's spiritual wisdom, what we're supposed to be doing. And the only way I'm going to be able to do as the pastor of this church and lead this church the way God wants this church to be led is for individuals to pray for me. And you need to be praying for your husband, wife. Children, you need to be praying for daddy. Spiritual leaders, you need to be praying. And that we have spiritual wisdom. But not only do the spiritual leaders pray, you drop down, you're going to see in verse number 9, you see that the laborers prayed as well. Not just the spiritual leaders prayed, but in verse 9, the beginning of verse 9, you see that the spiritual workers started praying. To pray. They sought God and prayed. What's the whole idea? Is everybody came together and everyone realized what was important, and their importance was their dependence upon God. And they had to go to God and seek God and ask God to help them. Spiritual wisdom is realizing where our strength comes from. You see, the complainers will get me. I tell you, I won't go into much detail, but when Tanya and I first started off in full-time ministry, we started off back in Wisconsin. And there was a situation that came about during the second year we were on staff there, the pastor left and we were filling in. We were living in the parsonage. And there were some issues that arose. And let me tell you, you have complainers that come. And someone, instead of coming to me and complain about something, I was still at the church. I leave the church to walk over the parsonage, and this person's car is in the driveway of the parsonage. And they were there complaining to Tanya about something. And I tell you, complainers come. You can give illustration after illustration of complainers. They're going to come. You're going to have those that criticize you say, you can't do this, and have reasons why can't. There is going to be those within and those without that come against you. But you and I have to what? We have to depend and rely upon God. I joke with this, but there's truth to this. If they told me everything that the ministry entailed during Bible college, or any pastor, everything that entailed during Bible college, I don't think many pastors would ever even leave Bible college and go into the pastorate. Because I found something out. Not everybody likes you. I tell you, that's hard. Because I like to be a likable person. And I have many pastor friends that would testify the same thing. And you know what? Not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to like everything you do. But I'm glad I'm not depending on my strength. I have to depend upon the Lord. Or what? I would quit. What happens in each of our lives if we start depending upon ourselves? And the criticism and the critics and the complainers come. We want to quit. But what do they do here? They said, we're supposed to build the wall. Lord, we need your help. Lord, we have those that say don't do it, those that say that we can't do it, those that are trying to hinder us from doing it. But Lord, we know this is what you want. And Lord, because this is what you want, we're going to do it. But we need your help and we need your strength. I want you also to see real quickly, look at verse number 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Did you see something there? The people had a mind to work. The people said, we're going to do it. We're not going to stop. We're not going to be hindered. We're going to do it. And what happened? Got accomplished. Do you know what we need in our life, spiritual wisdom? Is that we have a mind to work. We have a mind to finish what God has called us to do. We need to step up as believers, even during this time. And so God's work is not going to cease during this time. God's work is going to increase during this time. Do you know, I look through this and I see some great blessings that have come out of this. And I see some things that maybe be even a better thing for our church down the road if we can implement things in the right way. I believe there are some things that have strengthened and helped the church, the individuals, and helped people that could be a great blessing during this time. But you know what it takes is we have to have the mind to work no matter what circumstance we're facing. You see, sometimes we have the mind to work as long as everything is grand and everything is good. No, we have to have the mind to work no matter what the circumstance is. We got to keep on keeping on for the cause of Christ. We got to realize there's something great there, and it's to live for God and serve God and to please Him with all that we have. And we got to have that mind to work. And I know some, this has been an easier time. You've got to relax a little more. Now you have some other stresses that come along, but you get to relax a little more. Some, this has been harder for you. You've had to reinvent the wheel, if you will, how you're going to provide for your family, how you're going to take care of things, how you're going to do certain things, and how this is going to happen, how you're going to run your business, how you're going to be able, all this. It takes some work. It takes some shifting around. But you have to have the mind to work and continue what God wants you to do in your life as a believer. Believer, no matter how this has affected you, no matter how things have gone during this time, there's a far greater cause than the COVID and the issues we're facing. There's something far greater. We have to have the mind to work to carry out what God wants us to do in our lives. My prayer is as we get to gather together soon, and yes, it's going to be in stages. Yes, it's not exactly the way we want it. Yes, we're going to have some distance. Yes, we're going to have to do those things. But we need to come back with a mind to continue to work for the glory of God, that this church will continue to be a lighthouse in this community, that will be able to serve God and live for Him. We got to have the mind to work to say, hey, I'm coming to help continue to build the walls. I'm coming to help continue to build the church and see what God is going to do. Let's get back on fire for God. Let's continue that mind to work. And let's not let others slow us down. And let us not slow someone down. Let us encourage one another today. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, I pray that you would help us just to take the simple truths, and there was so much more that we didn't even cover in that portion of Scripture. But Lord, I believe we heard what you want us to hear this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us to take those truths, apply them to our hearts and to lives. Lord, we do pray if there's one that does not know you as a Lord and Savior that's listening this morning. Lord, they need to put their faith and trust in you. And realize salvation is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that you paid it all. You shed your blood. You rose again the third day. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Lord, help them to see their need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you help each of us as believers to have spiritual wisdom to stay on the wall and to keep on keeping on, to follow after you. Lord, help us not allow complainers and critics from without and within to stop us. Lord, help us to depend upon you. Help the leaders to pray. Help the laborers to pray. Help us to seek you. And Lord, help us to have a mind to work. Lord, help us to continue day in and day out. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We're going to go ahead and Brother Jamie's going to lead us in song. Go ahead and take time at home.